yapacağım ben? Ulan ben.
Hazret.
Men God.
You bastard.
Project 9.
Is that Paul?
This is Paul.
This is Francesca.
I know.
You sound unfriendly. I had a lot of trouble getting the project number from the switchboard. I suspect they took a voice print test. Did I wake you?
No.
Oh, I thought perhaps... it is rather late. 1 o'clock, isn't it? And how is time lately?
There isn't enough. What do you want?
But if you mean what do I truly want, the answer is I desperately want to see you. To talk.
It was your decision to leave.
I know. Well, I always was a fool. But I left because... surely you guessed. I was only trying to...
It was your decision to leave.
Paul,
and
please,
now the decision
let me
is
see.
Mine. Don't bother to call me again.
Paul!
Silver Sky by Tanith Lee, with Paul Darrow and Elizabeth Bell.
Eldoreth, are you ready?
Yeah, I am ready.
Stand by for the ultimate competitors check. Start the Rus. Pankoy, start the Glen. Got your look, Eldoreth.
That light up on your look.
3, 2, 1, 0.
Computer, be out. Confirmed all systems are operating at maximum efficiency.
Modesty never was one of your strong points, was it?
Nor one of yours, Paul, if I remember correctly.
Ah, I'm flattered you've made such a study of me, Dean.
I just had a call from Francesca. She was worried about you. You don't answer your phone.
She'll get used to it.
You know quite well that project rules oblige you to answer your phone at any time.
Don't stand on that cable.
What? Besides, I frankly think you could meet Francesca halfway.
I think you could mind your own damn business.
How's the countdown going?
The usual way.
Paul, is this key bank looking the way you want it?
Lock these two here. The rest of it's fine.
Okay. Does our own Mr. Dean know yet?
Well, now, I wonder.
Clyde, I take it this whispering in corners act isn't anything personal.
No, Mr. Dean, just checking the diagrams out with Paul.
How nice that you can get some sense out of Paul. As head of this project...
Head isn't exactly where I'd have put you, anatomically speaking.
Really, Baxter? You can be very childish.
I can also be the only one who could design and construct this capsule currently in front of you, and I'm the only one who can guide her in flight.
I am aware of that. And I've tried to handle you accordingly, with kid gloves. All I've received in return is abuse.
And all I've received from you is administrative trivia, daily panics about a curtailment of government funds, and bloody red tape.
Contact checks achieved. All systems functioning as designated. Silent countdown begins in 21 minutes.
I must get back to reception.
Stay there.
I shall be bringing Sir Arthur Maddock down here in 10 minutes. That may come as something of a surprise.
Not quite. He's your pet politician, isn't he?
Look, Baxter. If you know Sir Arthur is here, then you must be able to make a guess why. Government funds are quite likely to be withdrawn from this scheme.
Let's not go through that again.
Yes, I've told you before, but it happens to be a fact. Sir Arthur, however, if he's sufficiently impressed, could be a very influential support.
You've also invited the press, I gather.
Two reporters. Sir Arthur thought it would be a good idea. Get the general public interested. The taxpayer doesn't like shelling out for secret research. You should know that. If we can catch the popular imagination, we may get a stay of execution. I presume you want to go on working on this thing?
What you actually presume, Dean, is that if this project folds, you'll be out on your neck, minus the key to the executive's bathroom. You don't give a damn about what I'm doing, so long as you can get a free ride on the back of it. And in your ingenuous eagerness to secure your own position as you see it, you have made yet another of your monumental cock-ups.
Sir Arthur and the press, as I've just explained, could be vital at this point.
Well, you'll certainly be giving them a field day.
I fail to see
why... You fail to see because you walk around with blinkers on. I'd just like to assure you that if anything goes wrong, you'll be the one left holding the live grenade.
Nothing can go wrong. This is a trial run only.
I have some good news for you. This is the real thing.
What did you say?
I have considered a governmental closure, too. So while you were papering the walls with memoranda about turning out the office lights, we took a shortcut. What runs this afternoon is the genuine article.
You damned idiot.
And there isn't a thing you can do about it.
I can have you lifted off this project so fast your feet won't touch the ground.
Try it. And while you're trying, bear in mind that this capsule is already primed to fly. Nothing can stop it now, not even Clyde, not even me. So it's your choice whether it makes the jump with me inside it or on its own. Think about it.
Computer S-check.
Creation to degradation. S-check.
S-check. Continue.
Creation to degradation.
And this is where it's all about to happen,
Indian.
The cover of a science fiction magazine.
Is that your computer?
Yes, the female voice, due to its higher pitch, is reckoned to be more clear.
I believe you.
The capsule has a voice adaptation from the computer. That is, the capsule has its own separate, smaller computer, but with an identical voice program to the main machine. And both machines are capable of linking electronically, of course.
May I take a picture?
Well...
No, you may not.
This is Paul Baxter, the man who will be flying the capsule. Paul, these are the lady and gentlemen of the press.
Well, can't I take a picture?
She just wants a photo of your handsome face, Mr. Baxter.
Any loose static in here, even from a flash, can create a ghost overcharge on these instruments. So if you take one shot with that thing, I'll break it over your head.
Talking about loose static, you've got a bit of that in your personal life as well, haven't you, Mr. Baxter?
Leave it, Jerry.
Oh, Mr. Baxter won't mind. I'm not using any electrical equipment. It's just, you know, the human angle. Our readers do love their human angle. Now, this thing about your wife, she walked out on you, didn't she? And now she's attempting a reconciliation?
I take it you enjoy having teeth in your mouth.
What?
Or would you prefer to swallow them?
Now, look...
I don't have time to look. Get out of my way.
Sir Arthur,
what I'm still hazy on is the theory behind this enterprise. Any chance of someone explaining it to me?
Oh, certainly. First of all, the flight will be into Nether time. There's the past. I don't know if you're all familiar with Findle's premise.
Oh, isn't that the thing that the world's going to end 1 second from now?
No, not quite, my dear. Findle postulates that while the past has been established, and has indeed left historical evidence of itself, the future has not yet been formed, and cannot therefore substantially exist. Now, of course, we have no proofs from the future, as we do from the past. The idea is not therefore that the world will cease to be, but that it has yet to be. Findle's notion of the 1 second interval works out this way, that 1 second is the longest segment of futurist time that the time traveller can assume exists ahead of him. The law of the valid second is based solely on the swiftness of a second's passage. It's summed up in Vindel's time sentence. Even as I speak, the future has become the past.
Neat.
Naturally, we adhere to functional timescale during operation. We've avoided such pulp magazine anomalies as attempting to retrieve the capsule in the second before, during or after its departure. Mathematically, such a concept is a nightmare. One can only play about in such an area to a limited extent, or take a grave risk. We normally...
You really mean all this?
We normally allow 10 minutes to elapse between regression of the capsule and its recovery. Piloted, however, the capsule is autonomous, though subject to remote control recovery from this end in an emergency.
Somehow I'm not convinced by all this.
I sent you the reports. 120 objects were sent back and the full quota recovered. Travel is possible.
Objects, dear? How about live animals?
We haven't, in fact...
Better tell it.
So, tell me.
Paul has decided that this isn't to be a dummy run. When the capsule takes off, Paul will be travelling in it.
Sir Arthur, what have you got to say?
No comment. Dean, perhaps we could discuss this in your office.
Oh, come on, Sir Arthur, you must have some
young man. When I say no comment, that is exactly...
She's ready for you, Paul.
Thanks. Just a moment. I'll assume it's feasible. Does he have a destination in mind?
The estimated regression capability into Nether Time is somewhere around 3 centuries.
You don't seem happy about this, Dean. Baxter, I suggest
you stay exactly where you are. I'm about to get into the capsule. In 30 seconds from now, this area where I'm standing will be alive with surplus electricity. You could be in for rather a nasty shock.
He's getting into that thing.
Hold stabilization. Close cover now.
And there's the electrical build-up. Please stand back, everyone.
Silent countdown concludes. Vocalized countdown commences. 20, 19, 18, 17,
Please release stabilizers. Keep and holding.
15,
lift cage. Lifting.
Oh,
my God. 12, it's really happening.
11, Give me
that camera. Right, and now I'm going to take a beautiful picture of the moment when he gets egg all over his face. You don't think this is really going to work, do you?
Yes.
That maniac's got a camera.
Hey, you, don't use that flash.
Capsule in flight.
Just your eyes.
Don't use the camera, Jerry.
Sorry, darling.
Question, that was like a god. God!
Capsule in flight. Flight time is now. Passage impeded. Passage impeded.
What? For God's sake.
Object unknown. Computed to be traveling outside field of normal validity. Collision will occur in 6 seconds.
Competa, avis, por sake of God!
Whatever it is, evade it head on.
You hurt?
I don't remember this beach. The laboratory, it's nowhere near a beach. Where the hell am I? This sea. But it's... I've gone colorblind. The sea is... Red. No, not red. It's pink. The color of strawberry ice cream. Oh, my head. No.
It's a girl. Hair is long and dark, blowing across her face like smoke.
Can you visualize
it? It is smoke. Smoke rising from the capsule.
The capsule.
Flame Stell.
What?
Stell, Cap Stell, bless.
What?
Who?
I don't understand you.
Zai.
And you don't understand me. That means I've arrived somewhere. Somewhere with a pink sea and a girl talking double Dutch.
Look, Cap Stell, bless. Ornament.
What? And what was that thing you were driving when I crashed into you? And how long can I stand this pain? Oh.
Drink this.
What is it?
A restorative.
I suppose aspirin would be too much to hope for.
Aspirin?
How did I get down here?
I helped you. You walked.
I don't remember. You lit the fire?
Yes.
There are stones in it. But they're burning. The capsule's still smoking too, up there.
Yes.
When you spoke to me before, we didn't understand each other. Is the sea still bright pink? Don't worry. I can see it from here.
You were knocked unconscious in the collision, but your injuries are minor. Your skull is intact. There is no fracture.
Try telling my pain centers.
There were several items left to me undamaged. I was able to check your injuries.
All right, I'll buy that. I'll also buy the fact that you have long dark hair and the greenest eyes I've ever seen. What I don't buy is the way you're dressed and that thing up on the slope.
Thing?
You were riding in it when I hit you. It should have been a horse-drawn carriage. For God's sake, you shouldn't be wearing clothes like that in the 17th century.
Please, you should rest.
And why are you speaking a kind of pedantic 20th century English?
One of the undamaged items left in my capsule was a translator.
Say that again.
A translator. See this small bead on a cord about my neck. John has assumed that I might have difficulty with the developed dialects and speech mannerisms here, and so he persuaded the project board to provide a translator. It was very costly, but as I now see, useful. I speak to you normally, and you speak in your own tongue, and the translator
translates both of us direct into the vernacular of the other, so that what we each hear is the other speaking in our own language, or as close as maybe. Which is unadulterated science fantasy.
I do not understand.
Which means your translator translates syntax, but not concepts.
You should rest.
Stop being so tenderly and affectingly concerned with my welfare. Tell me where the hell you come from.
The Lesser Continent.
And where do you think you are now?
I was to have stabilized in the same area, but 3 centuries in the future. But there was no sea in the vicinity of the laboratory. The collision has deflected my capsule from its target. You realize my intention was to travel forward in time.
You have obviously never heard of Vindel.
What is Vindel?
I'm talking about the premise that time extends into the future by the space of 1 second only, and that accordingly forward travel is impossible.
You confuse me. It is like John Lass' theory, but in reverse.
So what's John Lass' theory?
That one may only travel forward in time. That the future will be created and therefore may be presumed to exist. But that the past decays, just as the historical proofs, the artifacts and buildings left by previous societies decay. That the past is dead.
You thought you were heading for the future, I thought I was headed for the past. We both find out we're on a road that takes two-way traffic after all. Which still leaves us with that irksome question, where are we? Does any of this landscape fit with anything you might have expected to see somewhere in the future?
No. But then, in the future, there may have been radical changes. The color of the sea, for example, might be due to some form of pollution.
So you have that problem, too. Which brings me up against the original question. I still don't know where you came from, if not from here.
You say you were travelling forward, but I don't call to mind any past civilization that was noted for its time-travelling capability. You're dressed like nothing I've ever seen or heard of, and your natural language sounded like nothing I'd ever heard of either.
I told you I am from the lesser continent.
I take it you mean a landmass, not a moral or a medical condition.
I do not...
Don't understand. Oh, how to go and check that wreckage up there, see what's left. Oh.
The very little. Your vehicle, your capsule, was almost entirely destroyed. You were thrown clear.
Probably. This whole thing stinks of cliches. And here we are in nowhere. With a metal sky and a pink sea that ought to be blue.
Blue?
Blue. Or grey or green, depending on water content and depth, prevailing weather, time of day, solar refraction, and individual colour perception.
There is no sea which is blue. Seawater is yellow. It is the iodinian compounds which make it so. There is no sea in the world which is not yellow.
Thank God no one was more seriously hurt.
With the possible exception of Baxter.
Yes.
Oh. He's gone hurtling back to the 17th century, according to you. With the instruments and relays damaged by that blowout.
Everything can and will be repaired. Clyde has a team working around the clock. My only hope is the newspaper.
I've already put a stop to that. The fact remains, you still can't monitor Baxter's capsule. Or bring it back. Can you?
Not yet. But I hardly think that...
Yes. That could be the problem.
Let me get you another whiskey, sir.
I want to know what's happened to Paul.
Francesca, how on earth did you get here? My secretary should have stopped you at once.
Tell me, I want to know what's happened to Paul.
You shouldn't be here, Francesca.
Will you answer me?
What I want to know is how you know anything at all about this.
Oh, God, God, God.
Please, Francesca.
I phoned Clyde.
Clyde had no business to say anything.
He didn't say much. I don't know if you're enjoying torturing me, Dean, but I can't take much more. Is Paul dead?
No, Paul is not dead. There was a slight accident inside the electrical field, but the capsule had moved out of range.
Here you are, Mr. Baxter. Just have a sip of this, sir.
Thanks. Oh, sorry.
And now, Dean, perhaps you'd like to tell Mrs. Baxter what you just told me. I don't understand why she wasn't informed in the proper way.
She and Baxter have been separated for a year.
That is common knowledge. It's an excuse. I don't think much of it.
Francesca, the fact is, some of the laboratory instruments and monitoring systems are temporarily out of action. But the flight went off perfectly.
But there wasn't supposed to be a flight. It was supposed to be a trial run. You told me that was all it was.
Paul had other ideas.
And you let him risk his neck?
I can assure you he was absolutely determined to risk his neck. None of this was my pigeon. He went behind my back, took the matter out of my hands and left me holding the baby. I intend to make a full report to the board. As head of this project...
Oh, you stupid little man!
No. No, it isn't your fault. If it's anyone's fault, it's mine. I couldn't take the hours he worked. I couldn't take his commitment to what he was doing. I wanted all his commitment to be to me. I wanted to hurt him. So I... What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
It's getting dark.
Yes.
That seems to be something they have in common. Your world, mine, here.
Yes.
There are even stars. But no moon.
Your satellite?
How many moons?
One. You?
Three moons. We've built cities on them. You?
Not yet. Thank God.
You do not like your world very much.
Your world, however, sounds fascinating. I just wish I could work out where it is. Or here. The place where stones burn. Which is fortunate. There doesn't seem to be any wood around.
There is wood. A forest, I think, over that rise. I saw it earlier.
What color are the trees? Don't tell me.
They seemed black.
We could look at it tomorrow. Whenever that is.
Do you think your people will soon answer your signal?
I'm not even sure they'll pick it up. I rigged that transmitting device as best I could, but there wasn't much left to do it with, and the wavelength is pretty random. I've got no method of linking back to the main computer. The communicator is dead, of course. I have a suspicion it was dead before the impact. Something happened there, and God knows what.
My own communicator is damaged, but it is able to repair itself. It will then emit the location ray. Oh, this is what is supposed to happen. To be stranded in another time. This is something of which we were warned during training. But we also believed the society we contacted would be greatly in advance of our own, that therefore they themselves would most probably be able to return us to our own era.
Your people seem to have great faith in their world's future.
You have no faith in yours?
Not much, no. Our record isn't particularly fine.
Does it occur to you that your lack of belief in yourselves may be linked to your lack of success?
Well, it hadn't.
Consider it. You are very bitter.
I'm very bad at ignoring the truth.
The truth as you imagine it to be. Jean Laz has said that bitterness is the flavor of defeat.
That seems reasonable.
He had no cause for bitterness. He was the cause of bitterness for others.
Why don't you tell me? I'm assuming you want to.
We trained together for this project, John Laz and I. The selection was between us, finally, who was to pilot the first capsule. I was selected and John Laz was not. We had been lovers for some months. I came to our dwelling and he was in our bed with a girl. He pretended surprise, but he had known at what hour I would arrive. The girl was frightened. I knew her. I felt sorry for her. When I looked at John Laz, he was smiling. And you? Have you ever done such a thing to your woman?
What makes you think I have a woman?
I think you have.
Your mistake, then.
No, she made the mistake. She betrayed you, and now the thought of her sickens you.
The melodramatic word betrayal implies a naive and implicit trust on my side, which there never was. But substantially, you're correct.
John Laz desired to punish me because I had succeeded where he had not. I think your woman wanted to punish you for something, some way in which you had hurt her. She wanted to punish you, and now she is sorry, I think.
I think we should get some sleep.
Very well. The ground is hard, but that is no matter.
The stars don't form the right constellations either.
And there is no sound save the fire and the sea. This place seems very empty, very unformed. I am called Elzereth. I tell you because I should like to know your name. I am afraid of this place. I said that it was empty. Suppose it is not empty. I look into the darkness and I am afraid of what the darkness may conceal. You will think me a child, believing that there is something out there in the dark.
My name is Paul.
Paul.
And Elsa?
Yes.
I am afraid, too.
Thank you. Doctor.
You can't illusion the capsular.
Bestel Jolaz.
May Elzereth.
Is checking at North Portland. Doctor.
Clyde.
Yes, Mr. Dean. Mr. Dean, would you step off that cable, please?
What? How's it going?
Not far.
What? Do you realise the serious...
I haven't got the leisure for a chat, Mr. Dean. The main leads are all burnt out and the current's bled right through the casings. There's enough static in these consoles to produce ball lightning.
Yes, well, I see all that.
You do.
You must understand, Clyde. On paper, I'm responsible for this confounded disaster. Bloody Baxter.
Bloody Baxter is certainly in one hell of a jam. The way things stand at the moment, we can't track that capsule and we can't trace it. The screens and the contact mics are dead. We don't know where Paul went or if he got there. If he tries to get back, he can't link with us, so he can't make the trip manually. Neither can we bring him through. If he needs help, we can't give him that either. By the time we can, if we can, it may be too late. Oh, if I could get my hands on that moron with the camera, I'd wring his neck. Superficial
burns. But at least, Clyde, I think we're agreed.
Ah!
You okay?
What was that?
The static I told you about. That's what we're working against. It's setting the electrical equipment off like sticks of dynamite. I've got solar battery lasers supposed to have arrived half an hour ago, but you need a bulldozer to shift some of these admin types off their backsides.
I'll get on to it. See what's holding things up.
If we could come clean, it might help. They're going to read about it in tomorrow's papers anyway.
Sir Arthur Maddox organised a clampdown, sir, and start spreading the word, all right?
Up to you. Oh, one other thing.
Yes?
Francesca Baxter.
I know. She's in my office.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I tried to stall her.
It can't be helped. Just get this lot sorted out.
If I can. There's one other possibility we can't overlook.
Which is?
The blow-up this end could be a coincidence. The capsule seemed to miss that, but something else could have happened. You see what I'm getting at, do you? Since we've lost contact our end, we've assumed the failure's entirely due to us. But something else could have helped cause that failure. Something Paul ran into independent of our own fiasco, and we wouldn't know. We won't know until everything's working again. What I'm saying is, Paul Baxter could already be dead.
The water may be pink, but it's still damn cold.
And it might also be poisonous, I know you told me. But it is too beautiful to do any harm.
That could be a dangerous philosophy.
Am I very different from the women of your world?
Anatomically, no.
Then it cannot be revulsion which makes you look at me like that.
No, it can't be, can it? Perhaps you should get dressed.
I am not afraid of the coldness of the water as you are. Such a brave man, so afraid. He is even afraid of me.
Terrified.
You coward, to fear the beautiful sea.
Stay there much longer and you may get beautiful hypothermia. With which, so far as I know, neither of us has the medical resources to cope.
This is all the food we have. We must ration it.
Since it's your food and not mine, you keep it for yourself.
Your foolishness astounds me. What do you suppose I am? We are both survivors and we'll share resources here. Your gun?
It works. Some of the ammunition didn't make it. I suppose I worry about that when I run out of bullets. We'll try that forest and see if there's anything worth shooting at.
Just before dawn, I woke. I thought there was something moving on the shore, but then I could no longer see it.
If there was, it may be the first of a long line of al fresco dinners. Come on.
My transmitter is not yet functioning, but who is to watch the transmitter of your capsule?
No one.
That is unwise.
Elzareth, there is a vague chance someone may answer that call. Very vague. And if they do, where does that get me? I'm shipwrecked. The capsule is a write-off. There is no way I can travel back in it as it is, and no way I can repair it. Unless I can get hold of about 24 separate parts and some very complex machinery. Even supposing that they could send that through to me here, it would take 6 months to organize it. There was no backup for this thing. To be fair, none of us reckoned on a collision in mid-flight. I'm going to have to get used to the idea that I'm on my own.
You are not. I am here. Last night you said...
I said I was afraid. I am. That isn't going to stop me trying to find out what survival potential this place has got. If any.
When my transmitter has repaired itself and my people pick up the signal, they will send help.
Elzareth! Oh, forget it.
You were about to say that I must not count on rescue any more than you are doing.
Do you know why?
I think so. This world...
is so unlike wherever it was both of us thought we were making for that I have a suspicion it could be off every map and outside every wavelength there is.
Experimental objects were sent to and retrieved from these coordinates.
And so were ours. On a 10-minute lapse automatic recovery system. In other words, before they left, they were triggered to come back. But a piloted flight was random. I had control, not the computer. If it lost me, I could have moved off the edge of the universe for all the chance I got of linking up again. I'll take a bet that the same situation applies to you. I have a theory about what's happened, but it won't gel. One thing I do know, I'm not waiting for any miracles. We're here, let's see what here is all about. You're coming with me. Aren't you?
My own gun is also primed.
Then let's take what we need to carry and get going. You never know. There might be a city on the other side of those trees.
But we will return here before dusk.
Unless we find something better.
You truly believe there is no way out of here?
Do you believe there is? All right. We'll come back. Before it gets dark. So far, nothing. Not a sign of life of any kind. No animals, no reptiles, no rodents, no insects, no birds.
There is a stream between the trees. I should like to examine it.
All right. Fish. Even this water is pink. I wonder if it's drinkable.
A moment.
What's that?
An analyzer. It may amuse you to learn I used it to verify you were human as I am. It also informed me that the stones at the beach are combustible. Did you never wonder how I had discovered that? And I tested the seawater before you were awake.
I had a feeling you must have some gadget or other like that.
This water is drinkable. There are certain salts in it, but not poisonous.
Wherever your world is, it's far in advance of mine. Logically, your capsule's direction of travel was from the past. Parallel worlds, maybe. It didn't properly register before, but your crazy language has English affinities.
Your language, on the other hand, seems to have affinities only with the grunting of Pernotti.
Which, I take it, is not a compliment.
Neither is the word crazy. Of running towards it.
It's coming straight at us. The happens to be 8 feet tall.
It is all so slow.
I don't know how you feel about eating it, but it just elected itself as part of the menu.
Oh, Paul, don't shoot.
Bullets aren't going to stop it.
My own gun.
Use it. That's all.
It is so slow.
Oh, so bloody inevitable. There's only one plan left. Run, Elsrid. Oh.
I cannot run any further.
Listen. I think we lost it. So much for modern technology. You didn't want me to fire at it, did you?
I guessed the guns could not disable it. The tufted hair or foliage on its hide was very thick.
We better head back towards the beach. The compass says this way.
I've been looking for fruits or berries on the trees or shrubs for edible plants on the ground, but there is nothing.
The prospect is hardly exhilarating. Death by slow starvation, unless one of those examples of weapon-proof topiary gets us first.
Or our people find us.
Or the sea parts down the middle and the U.S. cavalry rides out of it.
See the fire still burning down there. There's a lot of oxygen about.
Look! Just up the slope, beside the capsule wreck.
One of our friends from the forest.
What is it doing?
Using a stone to smash your transmitter.
Why should it?
I don't know, Alice.
Oh! Ow!
Don't speak, don't breathe, don't think.
It has gone.
Don't look. Let's wait to make sure. I'm sorry I had to push you flat on your back. It was extravagant but necessary.
You are a fool. You saved my life. A brilliantly clever fool. I should have thought of this solution, but I did not.
They come after anything that moves above the minimum or makes a noise they can hear.
And so by lying still, we were safe?
I remembered what you said about seeing one on the beach, but it didn't come near us. We were asleep. It's a hunting instinct. God knows what they prey on, but it's obviously noisy and active.
Are all the men of your world as wise as you?
Elzareth, if that thing was smashing
and
your
are any of them as beautiful as you?
Elzareth, listen to me.
Not until you answer my question.
Don't you understand what I'm saying?
Don't you understand what I am saying? Tell me about my eyes again.
What?
Tell me they are the greenest eyes you have ever seen.
They are the greenest eyes. Science fantasy eyes. The color of the purest Han Dynasty jade.
What is jade?
Jade.
Oh.
I do not care about anything but you. Only you. You. You.
Computer, give me a status report.
Computer, read out. Confirms that all systems are re-establishing normal power.
Okay. Now we can get down to some work.
Oh, what? How about a meal break, Clyde?
Here are the feed-in figures for the realignment program. Make a meal of that. Oh,
thank you. The last panel is sealed, Clyde.
Good. Now let's see if we can get them to do anything.
Oh, look at those pretty lights.
I was beginning to think we'd never see them again.
The tracer's come on.
Oh. All right, the tracer is on. That means Baxter's capsule somewhere. But where? Look at this.
The trace isn't lined up with the coordinates.
It's not lined up with any damn thing. Computer, check adjustment system.
Adjustment system is fully operational.
How about accurate?
There is no fault in any system associated with the tracer beam and linkage equipment.
Then how do you explain this? The capsule's there, but there isn't where it ought to be.
It's almost as if...
Yeah?
I don't know. Like a man standing on a raft. He's still on the raft, but now it's floating. That's what this looks like to me, Clyde. As if Baxter's landed somewhere that's constant, but moving.
Yes, I can see that too. Of course, time's passing anyway, wherever Paul is, but the coordinates are just to that automatically. This is more as if the whole box of tricks has slipped out of the groove
revised
and then
the... coordinates are registering 4 seconds. Continuous revision will now be necessary to maintain trace correctly.
Oh, what the hell?
There they are.
And there they are again. Shifting coordinates. Now the trace is staying smack on top of them. What was that about, a floating raft?
I still don't get it, though. We never had any of this with the experimental objects.
Yeah, they were geared for automatic recovery after 10 minutes. We never had to relocate them, so we never had a chance to see if something new was going on.
Tracer link has now been analyzed. Trace detector reveals absence of computer voice adaptation inside capsule.
Oh. Why?
Trace detector indicates capsule was damaged during transfers.
How bad is it?
Computing. Total destruction is implied. No life signs are detectable in near vicinity of capsule.
Yes, that's bad, all right.
Trace umbrella now extending range to multiple coordinates.
The distress code. Paul must have rigged it. He's alive. He has to be. Computer, will the mics carry a transmission yet?
Communicators are still inactive.
Oh, damn it.
But what about this shift effect?
The computer obviously can't figure it, or we'd have had a lecture by now. But she can cope with it. She's got the modus operandi right, if not the explanation. Leave it to her. We've got a recovery job to organise.
I think love's setting in. You never called the damn thing her before.
Trace Umbrella has encountered a second signal.
Don't marry her, Clyde. She's gone back. She's only rigged to recognise a capsule.
Computer, identify second signal.
Signal is weak and audible only on ultra-high frequency. Linguistic format does not correspond to any data contained in these bands.
Eh? Specify origin of signal.
Origin computes as second capsule.
Well, that's impossible. It must be a ghost reflection of Baxter's capsule that's bouncing the tracer beam back twice.
Computer, double-check your findings. That includes these coordinates.
Call her, darling. She might speed it up.
Computer is checking.
Yes, checking, you dumber.
John Lass, Elzareth capsule are located at Brecken. At Elzareth.
Elzareth Livat.
Elzareth, you know, that ocean is tidal. There's too great a variance for it to be only a solar tide.
Ah, you, my lover. I thought you would say beautiful and tender things to me. Instead, you speak only of the sea.
I checked your transmitter an hour ago. What was left of it? It's still active.
It will repair itself as before.
You do realize your people were trying to reach you?
Because the things from the forest attack only what moves or makes noise. And therefore, since it was attacked, the transmitter must have been receiving and audibly transmitting. Yes, I realize.
Presumably, some sort of rescue will be instigated now you've been traced.
Perhaps. I told you I do not care.
Elsworth, wherever we are, it's hardly the garden of earthly delights. We can't survive here.
Did I say that I believed we could? How can I explain to you? I have lived, but always looking forward. No individual moment of my life had ever any meaning, so I must stare always ahead, towards the next moment, the next day, the next year, forward and forward, or backward into the past. To travel in time, that is not new to me. I have always been a time traveler in my head, looking forward, looking back, and the present never enough. But now, the present is enough. Each moment is perfect and whole. Each moment I am with you. I do not say these things to bind you to me, to suffocate or to chain you. I say them because I must, because they are true. And if they are not true for you, still they are true. I am glad I have lived. I am glad.
If either of us has a chance to get out of this place, it will be you.
Well, you think if that were so, I would leave you here to die?
I think you might have to.
I think you wish to make me very angry, so I shall forget to be in love with you.
This isn't about emotions, this is about facts.
The facts are that if I am found by my people, I can return to my world. The Lesser Continent had trained a team of 5 persons for this enterprise. There were accordingly built 5 capsules. They will, if they are able, send a new capsule through to me. I can then return via the recovery beam. A capsule can also be sent for you.
What?
Your own world has failed you on so many levels. You will come back with me to mine if I am found.
Your world?
Mine. Yours now.
Or I'd be Cro-Magnon man, sublimely primitive, a sideshow. I doubt I could even live there.
This is about facts and not emotions.
I doubt if I could live there because I think I know where I'd be going.
No.
I worked it out. As you have. Haven't you? It has to be. It doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous, but it's the only answer.
You suppose our worlds are totally inimical, and therefore we too are basically inimical.
No. No, Elsworth. But what's happened to us is just a byproduct of everything else that's happened. Side effect. Inevitable. Probably meaningless.
I do not believe you. You do not believe yourself.
The fire's still burning. The excess oxygen in the air could be affecting us too. Oh. If we walk up to the wreck, you can check the transmitter.
I would not hate this so much if I knew you did not want me. Then I could turn away from you. Very well. Let us walk.
Supply and demand.
The second capsule. My people have sent the second capsule.
They don't waste any time. Pun unintentional.
They could not even know that I was alive. John does.
I hope those damn things from the forest don't hear that. Come on. More double Dutch.
Once my translator is in range, you will hear in your own language.
Pilot Elsereth,
reply, capsule 909. Affirmative, computer. I am Elsereth, pilot of the 909 capsule.
Elsereth, please report the conditions of your survival.
I have survived, you idiot. Is that not enough? I need another capsule, a third capsule. That is, two capsules together at the same coordinates.
Original coordinates do not obtain. Revised coordinates have been established. Data received from site indicates first capsule destroyed during impact. Please report on phenomenon which caused impact to occur.
There was a man in the way.
Computer, can you hear me? Are your coordinates progressive or static?
They have to be progressive.
I regret I am not programmed to respond to the translated phonetics of indigenous life forms.
Well, that puts me in my place. It's all right, don't cry. You're safe now, you can go home.
Oh, damn you! You would rather die alone here than remain with me. Let go of me, you are mad.
Yes, this whole situation is hardly distinguished by its sanity. Tell that bloody fool of a computer again to send you an extra capsule. Using progressive coordinates.
If you joke with me now, I shall kill you.
That may not be necessary. I don't even know if I can get into your world. If the laws of whatever insane mathematics apply will even let me. But you and I arrived here, it might be possible. I can try. Tell the computer to do what you say.
Oh, you will be happy. I will see to it that nothing bad. That nothing...
I am happy. But I was right.
What now?
Better hurry. There's a tree up on that ridge that wasn't there a minute ago.
You should try to drink this coffee, Mrs. Baxter.
Should I? I'm sorry. What time is it?
Oh, it's almost 7 a.m.
Only 7?
Sir Arthur.
Dean, what's happening?
We've located the capsule, and we've picked up a distress signal.
What?
There's some confusion. The coordinates are... Well, I don't quite understand.
But Paul, what about Paul?
Paul is alive.
Oh, thanks.
The signal code is standard procedure in case of... Well, the capsule appears to have been slightly damaged.
And Paul is slightly damaged too, presumably.
We don't know that. Clyde has the computer keyed for the locking on stage. In 5 minutes, we're going to shoot the automatic recovery impulse along the beam and bring the capsule back.
Take me down to the laboratory.
Oh, look, Francesca...
Mrs. Baxter has every right to be present, Dean. Or don't you agree with me?
First replacement capsule 9010 stationary at revised coordinates. Second capsule 9011 is travelling. Please stand clear of arrival point.
We are standing clear.
This is John Luz. Can he understand, this man with you, what we are saying?
Yes, the translator is working.
Paul? Is that your name, Paul Baxter?
That's my name, and thanks.
Save your thanks. I would have left you there, but Elzareth has appealed to the project board, and according to their decision, you are to be brought through. It is against my strongest advice.
And I'm sure I'll love you too.
What?
Elzareth, there are three of those forest things on the slope now. I told you to get into the capsule.
Yes, Paul, I understand. Now I will. And you go into the other. The translator will continue to function until the moment of recovery.
Fine, get moving. Heading straight for us. Wonder what took them so long.
The capsules are reinforced. We are safe, I think.
The recovery beam is about to lock on. Are you positioned and ready?
We are ready.
Recovery beam extended to revised progressive coordinates and locking.
All systems hold. What is happening there?
The send-off committee from the forest is chucking stones at us. And catching fire. John Laz, the oxygen level here is above normal, which makes everything highly inflammable.
Computer, activate recovery immediately.
Objects impacting full recovery beam are causing interference. Coordinates. Shift.
Check that switch over there, could you?
Checking.
Clyde,
no malfunction.
Is everything ready for recovery?
Two seconds ago, I said yes.
What the hell's gone on now?
And what the hell's Francesca Baxter doing here? You might have had the sense to keep her out if you can't do anything else right.
I will not be...
Oh, shut up, Dean, and listen. The capsule, according to the computer, is a write-off. Total destruction was the expression. We have to try to bring that mess through anyway, but God only knows how much stress it can take. And now...
Oh, will you
stay back on that carpeted area, please, the rest of you. And mind the cable Mr. Dean just trod on.
Oh, damn the cable. Tell me why you haven't activated the recovery.
There's a whole bowl full of electric ghosting, that's why. A minute ago, the trace was acceptably clear. Now there's not just a reflection of Baxter's wrecked capsule, but three reflections. Then we started to shoot the beam through and got a blasted reflection of that. To all intents and purposes, there's also a recovery beam aimed through at two of the ghost capsules from somewhere else, and that isn't feasible.
But what difference does it make? You have the tracer link, and there's the key. All you have to do to instigate recovery is to press that key. Am I right?
You're right.
Well, then what's stopping you?
What's stopping me is the nagging idea that there really could be another beam out there somewhere.
Another beam?
Yes, I know. From where? Don't ask me. Okay, I can cover the possibility there being a flaw in the trace, that one of the ghost capsules could be Paul's capsule instead of where the trace is pointing. Actually, that worried me enough that I have covered it. I've fixed the beam to embrace all four objects, real or reflection, but... Oh, that bloody beam! There's also some kind of freak electro-pyrotechnic activity going on all around the site. So what happens if you touch two live wires together in the middle of an electric storm?
Ellsworth, can you hear me?
I am unharmed. You?
So far, apart from being roasted alive.
Elzareth, listen. I'm going to risk recovery manually. The computer has re-established coordinates temporarily, but stresses the danger and refuses to activate the beam. This is the only chance you have. You consent? Yes. Paul?
Yes.
You will lose translation during recovery. Recovery will occur in 6 seconds. 6, 5... 4, Paul, 3, I love you. 2, 1, Zorro. Chaiu Amora, Paul. Amora.
Clyde, look at the trace. It's going mad.
Press the recovery key. You'll lose him. Clyde, for God's sake, please. Right, then I will.
Mr. Baxter, now I thought we agreed the tape recorder stayed on this table over here and you stayed in that bed over there. We may be a private establishment, but we have our ideals. Dr. Calhoun was adamant.
You mean petrified?
Do I? No, I don't. Did you have to get up and get dressed and start working and ruin a beautiful, quiet, uneventful day for me? Aren't you grateful for the loving care we've lavished on you? Waited on hand and foot and never a word of thanks.
Thanks.
Main building called earlier. Mr. Dean. Your wife is in reception. She's been here 3 days. Won't you see her now?
If you're so worried, you go and see her.
I wish you'd do as you're told and let somebody help you.
You can help me.
Oh, yes?
Yes. First you can get out, and then you can spread the word that I'm soundly asleep and must on no account be disturbed.
While you're doing what?
I'm going to run this tape, and then I'm leaving.
It would be pointless for me to suggest you're not fit enough to leave yet.
Quite pointless.
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened over there on the project. The security clampdown is total. But whatever it was, I still wish I...
Please, will you get out?
Yes.
16. I know it's only a matter of hours before you chase over here again, so this is for you. It's also for Clyde and any of the rest of the team who are still hazy about the laughable truth we stumbled on with our science fiction time experiment. Clyde's so busy playing with the remains of the three capsules he managed to bring through, I don't think he's got around to the theory yet. He didn't get the fourth capsule, of course. The girl's capsule. If you want the paperwork to go with this, and the relevant mathematics, you'll find them in the drawer under the tape deck. The coded key will open it. Doing it this way is going to save me the nightmare of trying to explain it to you face to face. It's a small nightmare, I admit, but I don't want it. I've got my own nightmare. It's part of my luggage from now on. I gather I told you about the girl when you were dragging me out of the alien capsule. There wasn't much left of it, was there? The girl was killed. Her own capsule went up in a fireball, the color of a clear white nothing. So she's dead, isn't she? The mistake we made about the nature of time, Dean, is that we thought we had the monopoly. Same way that mankind once thought that the planet Earth was a flat platter at the center of the universe, man now thinks he is at the center of time. To go forward might be impossible because man hasn't yet pushed his way ahead into the future. But to go back means a sortie into all those past eras of man's history. The potential is stunning. It could be the greatest nostalgia trip, the greatest tourist boom since God knows when. It's all there, like a child's picture book. Just turn a page and step inside. But that's too easy. And we couldn't see it. Time isn't like that. Strangely enough, Vindel's theory of the one-second interval still applies. Not quite as he foresaw. Even as I speak, the future has become the past. But it hasn't. Even as I speak, the future has become another present. Time isn't a wheel or a road. Time is a conveyor belt. Our second is now. And then we progress to another second and another. We're like a walking man, always moving forward, always moving on. And behind us, another man is walking. 1 second behind us. And as we step on into the next second, so he steps into that second we have vacated. He steps into that second that we thought was our past, but which is his present. He follows us step by step, putting his feet exactly into our footprints. And behind him comes another, and behind that other, another still, back beyond any point we could imagine. And very conceivably forward, too. And if someone is walking in our footsteps, whose footsteps are we walking in? The future is there. Only that isn't the future either. It's another present. And the strangest thing of all is that each of these time zones is unique, a different world. Some like ours, some unlike. Pink sea, yellow, too much oxygen, a silver sky. So there's no such thing anymore as history. Just the artifacts, records, ruins, memories our history has left us, travelling with us as we go forward. There's no such thing as the past, except inside our heads. The past decays second by second, and another world takes its place. When I went back, I didn't arrive in the 17th century, because that doesn't exist anymore. I arrived in another time zone currently occupying the space at those coordinates. The girl came from another time zone again. Theoretically, from the direction of our past. In fact, from a time zone and a civilization technically far in advance of our own. I nearly got to see it. Or maybe that would have been impossible. Elzareth is dead too. She said something about being a time traveler in her mind. The irony is that if time had had the nature we ascribe to it, the wheel or the road, I could have gone back. I could have altered what happened. But then if time had had that nature, she wouldn't have existed at all. She isn't anywhere now. Some other world has filled the place where she was. Some other time.
Silver Sky by Tanith Lee, Paul Baxter was played by Paul Darrow, and Elzareth by Elizabeth Bell. Dean was Simon Molloy, Francesca Baxter, Anne Reed, Clyde, Andy Rashley, and Sir Arthur Maddock, John Jardine. John Laz was David Fleischman, the reporter, John Talbot, the photographer, Nina Holloway, the nurse, Mary Cunningham, and the technicians, Martin Oldfield and David Fleischman. Music and effects were created by David Fleming Williams, and the play was directed in Manchester by Kay Patrick.